101. Ordinary sad-ass humanness. Her time in the trailer with Wilf had kept her mind off what she couldn't quite believe she'd decided about Lobir and Griff. The ordinary sad-ass humanness of his story with Daedra, in spite of big lumps of future stuff, had been weirdly comforting. She still wasn't sure how Daedra made her living, or what her relationship with the United States government was. Seemed like a cross between a slightly porny media star and what sophomore year art history called a performance artist, plus maybe a kind of diplomat. But she still didn't get what the United States did either, in Wilf's world. He made it sound like the nation-state equivalent of Connor, minus the sense of humor. But she supposed that might not be so far off, even today. After the trailer, the three of them had gone up to the house and had the peas Janice had stir-fried with some bacons and onions, sitting around the kitchen table with Leon and her mother. Her mother had asked Tacoma about her name and her job, and Tacoma had been good at not seeming like she wasn't explaining what she did, and Flynn had seen her mother seeing that, but not minding. Her mother was in a better mood, and Flynn took that to mean she'd accepted that she wouldn't be sent off to Northern Virginia with Lithonia. Driving back, it was the same convoy, and no other traffic on the road at all. "Should be more people driving out here this time of day," she said to Tacoma. "That's because it's shorter to list what Cold Iron doesn't own in this county. You own both sides of this road, and the rest of the county, Hefty still owns the bulk of what you don't. What's left either belongs to individuals or Matryoshka."
"The dolls?"
"The competition is what we call them in KCV, out of Nassau. So that's probably where they first came through from the future, the way Cold Iron did in Columbia."
They were at the edge of town now, and Tacoma started talking to her earbud, making the convoy take unexpected turns, or as unexpected as you could manage anywhere this size. Flynn figured they were angling to get into the back without attracting the attention of Luke 4-5 on the other side of Tommy's yellow sheriff's department tape. They knew how to obey police tape because they could help them in court when they eventually sued the municipality, like they always did, most of them having gone to law school for that express purpose. They always protested in silence, and that was deliberate too, some legal strategy she'd never understood. They'd hold their signs up and stink-eye everybody, never say a word. You could see the mean glee they took in it, and she thought it was sorry that people could be like that. At least there was some traffic in town, mostly KCV employees trying to look local, not a single German car. Anyone who made a living selling secondhand Jeeps should be hosting a big fiesta about now for the workers at the factory in Mexico.
"Always been a redhead?" Flynn asked Tacoma to get her mind off Luke 4-5.
"A day longer than I've been with KCV," Tacoma said. "They have to bleach it almost white before they dye it."
"I like it."
"I don't think my hair does."
"You get contacts at the same time?"
"I did."
"Otherwise, you'd look enough like your sister that people would put it together."
"We drew straws," Tacoma said. "She would have gone blonde, but I lost. She was blonde when she was younger. Brings out her risk-taking tendencies, so this is probably better."
Flynn looked over at the blank screen of the Wheelie's tablet, wondered where he was now.
"Are you really a notary?"
"Hell yes, and a CPA, and I've got paper for you to sign when we get back. Taking your brother's little militia from Cult of Personality to state-registered private security firm."
"I have to talk with Griff, first thing. Has to be private. You help me with that?"
"Sure. Your best bet's Hong's. That one table off in an alcove? I'll have him hold that for you. Otherwise, you can't know who's on the other side of the nearest top."
"Thanks."
And then the truck was in the alley behind Fab, sandwiched between the two SUVs as they disgorged black-jacketed Burton boys, everybody with a bullpup except Leon.
"Ready?"
Tacoma asked, killing the engine. Flynn hadn't been ready for any of it, she thought, not since that night she went to the trailer to sub for him. It wasn't stuff you could be ready for. Like life, maybe, that way.